We thank the Lord for another opportunity to gather before Him. In the Friday night college fellowship, we last week began to study the book of Mark. And as we began to look at that book, we went into in chapter 1 of Mark, where it starts to talk about how the Lord Jesus humbled himself and went to John the Baptist to be baptized by John. And we said that as far as the Lord Jesus himself is concerned, because he is without sin, so there is really no need for him to be baptized by John the Baptist. And yet he did it for our sake, because he was standing in the position as a man. And so he wanted to identify with us in all things. And that is why he went through that process. And then after that, we were told that he was urged by the Holy Spirit to go into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. And so, regarding to this temptation of the Lord Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, I started to think about what had gone through in this process, in this event of temptation. We know that the Bible recorded three different occasions where the devil come before the Lord to tempt the Lord. And in each and every occasion, the Lord won that battle victoriously. And in fact, in those three temptations, it comprised of the temptation of the makeup of a human being. In this case, the Lord was tempted in his body. The Lord was tempted in his soul. And he was tempted in his spirit as well. So the temptation that the Lord Jesus has gone through actually would be, in a way, all-inclusive of what we human beings are facing today when we are under the temptation. Now, the question that I start to ponder upon is, could Jesus have sin when he was tempted? Now, we know the result was that, as we have said, the Lord Jesus did not sin. He did not fall into the snare of the enemy. He actually won that the battle victoriously. And but the question still remains: could he have sin when he was tempted? Now, we would want to sort of look into this later on. But first of all, let us take a look at the promise that God has given to us for those who are tempted. And then we will come back to this question: could Jesus have sinned when he was tempted? So let us take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we will read two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And can I ask Wayne to read it out loud for us, please?
Thank you.
This is the promise that God has given us regarding to temptation. Now, when it comes to this this word temptation, I don't know what you think in your mind. You think to be tempted to a lot of chocolate would be one kind of temptation. To be tempted to continue to stay in front of a TV screen or to stay on a TV game, that's another type of temptation. But let me ask you this question. What temptations are you facing today? We know that our fleshly tendencies toward, for example, pride, discontentment, and a demanding spirit, or an attitude of ingratitude, or worldly ambition, or our desire for material things. All these are temptation, and those are actually sinful attitudes that we could harbor in our heart. Now, any one of these things can undermine our effectiveness in serving the Lord. Pride is trusting ourselves. It is easy enough to substitute prideful confidence in ourselves for submissive confidence in the Lord. Many times we say that we are confident in a certain thing, but actually we put our confidence in our flesh rather than having a submissive confidence in the Lord. There is a big difference between the two. Okay, and perhaps today you harbor a heart of discontentment. A heart of discontentment. Your disappointment with God is much greater than your grateful appreciation for the wonderful blessings in your life. All you can see is what you don't have and how it ought to be different in your life. And there is this overwhelming feeling of frustration because of your own limitation. And many a times you become oblivious or insensitive to God's goodness, generosity, grace towards you. And those are sinful attitudes that we can easily tempt being tempted into, like as we have said, this is the attitude of discontentment of how God treats you. This could happen. Okay, these temptations are seen in a real term, but we are given a promise in here in verse 13 from Paul that we don't need to be overwhelmed by these temptations. And so let us take a look at this verse 13. First of all, it began with the promise that it tells us no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Many a times when we are tempted, when we consider our situation, we think that we are unique. Our problem is unique. There's no other one who have similar problem like us. But Paul reminds us that the issue, the temptation, the problem that we are facing today are not unique. It is common to man. For example, in the temptation of Adam and Eve. And we know that it can be the temptation of Adam and Eve can be included into this one verse from 1 John, and it is that it is a temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is all inclusive in that, okay? And today, all the temptations that we have to face is because we are living in the world. The world system is the biggest influence to us. The world, in a way, is this age or this culture. Okay? What is many a times when we live in this world, when we live in this culture, what people consider to be a successful path, what people consider to be in the fast lane, all of those things can pose as a temptation, a pressure to us to conform to the culture, to this age. You see, the pressure that we experience today is shared actually by everyone. I am not the only one who struggle with these temptations or trials. We are all frail, fallen human beings, very prone to fleshly indulgence. God understands our situation, our circumstance, our struggle. And that is the first bit of the good news to us. The temptation that you are facing today are common to man. People before you, and even brothers and sisters around you, they experience similar things. It may not be in exactly the same circumstance, but it is the temptation, the core of it is similar. And by the way, in this verse, Paul is speaking about Christian temptation. He is not talking about temptation for the unsaved. Because for the people of the world who do not know God, who do not know the eternal value of the gospel of the Lord, who do not even have the eternal life, they do not see many of those things Christians consider temptation to be temptation. Just like I said, if you know, at this age, people are pursuing so many things in the world, and they consider those things to be the right thing to do because everyone is doing it. But to Christians who have a different objective in life, all of those things that the people of the world pursued to us could become a source of temptation. Are we going to go for it just like all the other peoples in the world? Or should we follow the way of the Lord, the way of the cross? So we walk, continue to walk in this narrow path. So that become, Paul in here is talking about Christian temptation. Those who have tasted the goodness and the grace of the Lord. And for many Christians, even though we know that we have a different goal, we have a heavenly home, we have a different objective in life, yet many a time we are easily confused by what is false to be true. We have taken what is the truth to be false. And many a times Christians, just like the sheep that has gone astray, they have taken good for evil and evil for good. And many a times in our imagination of the mind, we continue to be subject to those forces in the world. And more than that, the second point about verse 13 is that Paul said that God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able. God, in other words, knows our ability. God knows that we are nothing but dust. He knows that we will suffer. He knows that we will have to face temptation. And yet, the temptation that we suffer is in proportion to our strength. That is what it means by when Paul said that God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted about what we are able. Our Lord Jesus is the great physician who will always watch over us. He observes every symptom of our distress, our situation, that those temptations will not rise above our strength. He will not be mistaken concerning our ability to withstand, to face up to those temptations that we are experiencing today. He sees exactly how much we can endure in our present degree of strength. He will never, and He can never suffer us to be tempted above what we are able to bear, above the strength which He either has already given us or He will give us. So in other words, God always have enough provision so that we will be able to stand up and withstand those temptations. It, in this case, implies to us that God really knows our strength and our weaknesses. It doesn't mean that we will never be overcome by evil, but it means that our failure will not be as a result of having more temptation than we can handle. You understand what I'm saying? The great promise here from the Lord is that none of us will face anything in this life that can overwhelm us if we turn to the Lord for help and deliverance. We will, without temptation, because the Lord will make a way of escape for us, that we are able to bear it. That's the third part of the promise in that verse 13. A way of escape, this phrasing here is very significant, because this phrase actually means a way of outlet, a way out, in another words. Either He make a way of escape out of the temptation by removing the occasion of it, or in the temptation, the occasion remaining as it was, but it is temptation no longer. Now, in the first instance, He make a way of escape out of the temptation by removing the occasion of it. Many times if we think back into history, there are many times recorded, even in the Bible, that are like this. For example, in the book of Acts, remember Herod. He was persecuting the church after Pentecost. And at that time, he even killed James, the brother of John. And after that, he arrested Peter. Okay? He was persecuting the church. And yet, the Bible tells us that God caused a worm to eat him up. And he died. Okay? So in this case, and in fact, after that, the Bible said that as a result of God removing Herod from the scene, the word multiplied. So in this particular situation, God actually removed that occasion to cause the brothers and sisters to lose heart. And as a result, the word of the Lord multiplied. And that's one occasion. And even if you consider, think back in your own life, there are many times when you're under temptation that God actually did remove that occasion that would cause you to fail. And as a result, you are able to get out of it. This is the way out. I remember when I was back in Hong Kong, I was in a very miserable stage, because at that time, we're talking about 30 some years ago, but at that time I have already left the church. I did not gather together with brothers and sisters because of some personal relationship problem. I just went away from it. I could see myself, if the Lord continued to allow me to be in that environment with that group of friends, I would only go farther and farther from the fold. I would have been so far away that I might not have a chance to return. But then again, at that time, the lowest point in my life, the Lord all of a sudden gave me an opportunity to leave Hong Kong for U.S. And all of a sudden, the Lord basically took me out from that situation where I was tempted sorely, and my spiritual condition was so low that people would not recognize that I was a Christian at all. But the Lord somehow, in a miraculous way, took me out of that environment, out of that group of friends. And all of a sudden, I started a new life when I was in the state. I started to go back to church. I started to have fellowship with brothers and sisters, especially when you're all alone in the U.S., all of a sudden God become important. Because when I was in Hong Kong, all my buddies, they are the most important people. Okay? So in this particular example, you can see that God removed that location. God took me out from that situation so that I could strive again in His way, to come to walk in His way. Okay? But on the other hand, God is able to deliver us out of temptation even without removing the very ground of temptation. This means the occasion remain as it was, but He will take away the bitterness of it, okay, so that it shall not be a temptation to us at all. Not only, but that occasion that used to cause us grief, we now would be able to give thanks to Him. And many children of God, okay, can testify to that this indeed is our daily experience. Many a times we encompass troubles and we are in pain or in sickness and we cry out to the Lord, and at times God did not take us out of that situation, okay? He did not remove the trouble, the sickness, the pain. But even though He leave us there, He gave us the strength to bear it. And in doing so, we find that actually the occasion that used to cause us distress, that used to cause us pain, become an environment that our hearts become so thankful for what He has done in our life. And indeed, I think you can remember this is exactly the experience of Paul when Satan put a thorn in his flesh that caused him tremendous pain. He prayed to the Lord to remove it, but the Lord did not do that. He prayed 3 times, but the Lord ignored him, did not answer that call. But the Lord gave him sufficient grace so that he can bear it. And in this process of bearing with that painful thorn, he experienced the strength of the Lord in his own weaknesses. So, I mean, this is another way that the Lord allow us a way out. So we can sort of put verse 13, a promise, in this way. No test or temptation that come your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you to be pushed past your limit. He always will be there to help you to come through it. You know, this is sort of a modern English way of putting that verse. This is the promise of the Lord. So, if that's the case, let us then receive every trial with calmness, with humble confidence that He who has all the power, the wisdom, the mercy, and the faithfulness will, in every temptation, supportive of us and will deliver us from all of those things. Okay? Either by removing the occasion or by leaving us in the occasion but giving us sufficient grace to go through the temptation. So that in the end, all things will work together for good for those who love Him. And it will accomplish the purpose of God in our life so that we become a partaker of God's holiness. Now, let's take a look at this outlet, this way out, this escape way that Paul is referring to. What is this way out of escape when circumstances does not change? If we cannot look around us to find a way of escape, in other words, if we look horizontally and we cannot find a way of escape, okay, we need to, as a Christian, we need to lift up our eyes to the mountain. This is where our help comes from. Our help, brothers and sisters, so that we remind ourselves, comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We need to look, in other words, to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. However, there are many times that when we try to resist temptation, it sounds like a very hard problem. It sounds like even a hopeless cause. Its grip and its seduction seems to be so overwhelming in our situation, in our experience, that we find it so hard to bear. Resisting certain temptation seems to be so futile. We were at times as if we are asked to hold back the tide of the world. We are called to stand against that tide. But who can withstand the tidal wave that sweep over the face of the earth? Sometimes we find that our temptation is just too overwhelming. But in here, in verse 13, Paul tells us that there is a way of escape, and that escape, as we have pointed out, is the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus himself has gone through the temptation, all of the temptations that we are going through today. But still, having said that, many people feel the reason the Lord Jesus did not yield to his temptation is because he did not have a sinful nature. Because he does not have a sinful nature, that is why he did not fail. Is that true? If that is true, then the Lord Jesus is not too helpful to us, isn't it? Because we know that we, by nature, are sinful. But remember, Adam and Eve did not have sinful nature either, and yet they fell. So that is really not quite the answer. Coming back to the question that I asked at the beginning of the meeting, could the Lord Jesus sin if he was tempted? Could he have sinned? Could the Lord Jesus have sinned during his stay on earth? You know, for 2,000 years, Christians has been debating this question. This is more of a theological question that never seems to have a true answer. The question appeared to be one of self-contradicting question. This is almost sounds like, could God create a rock so large that he could not lift it? This question in a way is absurd, right? I mean, how can you ask this question, could Jesus have sinned when he was tempted? But regardless of how we answer the question, we run into some very important implication of it. If Jesus could not have sinned, you have to wonder if he was really tempted, right? If we say that he could not have sinned, then you wonder, was he really tempted? How can a person truly be tempted if there is no possibility of yielding? If there is no possibility for him to yield to that temptation, how could you call that as a temptation? But the Bible clearly says that Jesus, our high priest, was tempted in all things, throughout his entire ministry. Not only that he was tempted in those three occasions when the devil came. Actually, in his entire ministry, the devil was always after him, always trying to find the occasion where he can trip the Lord Jesus. Okay? So either the Lord Jesus was truly tempted, or the Bible tells us something wrong, because the Bible says that the Lord Jesus was tempted. On the other hand, if Jesus could have seen, then our faith, and even in this case God's faith, was in great jeopardy, isn't it? If the Lord Jesus fell in his temptation, okay, then our salvation would have been in great danger. If Jesus, as part of the Godhead, actually sinned against his Father, then everything would have been in ruin for eternity. In fact, God's holiness and God's righteous nature would have to be tainted, isn't it? And God's system of justice would have to be abolished. God could no longer be sinless in this case, nor could he reasonably expect perfection from you and me if the Lord Jesus had sinned. Either God would have to condemn himself to hell for eternity, or he would have to release everyone from hell if the Lord Jesus had sinned in that temptation. You have to wonder if God would have put all this at risk if there is a realistic 50-50% chance that his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, could have failed. This is too great, too big a stake in here. So what is the answer? I believe that when the Lord Jesus was tempted, he had a real choice in his response. I believe that when he was tempted, he felt the same frustration and pressure as we do. I believe that he has the realistic choice to yield to his temptation. I believe that the temptation the Lord Jesus faced had the same potential of being overwhelming to him as it is to us. Remember the Lord Jesus, the first temptation from the devil was that in that time, after he was fasted 40 days and night, the Bible said he was hungry. Now, you can imagine how hungry he must have been after 40 days and night. So there's a natural physical need in him. He was hungry. And the devil tempted him, turn the stone into bread. That will solve the problem of your hunger. So the temptation is real. And the hunger is real. And it could be as overwhelming in feeling as just the same way as we feel. Okay? And yet we know that the Lord Jesus in this case, he did not yield to that temptation. And again, when the devil took him all the way up to the pinnacle of the temple and asked him to just jump down, he could have done that. And in this case, it saved him a lot of problem in terms of trying to get his people, especially the scribes and the Pharisee and the high priest, to accept him. Because if he has done such a great miracle, everyone will receive him gladly. Because remember, the Bible said that he came to his very own, but they all rejected him. So the devil in here gave him a quick way out. Well, you just need to go up to the pinnacle of the temple, jump down, and then you will be accepted by all people. So the temptation to the Lord is real. It's very tempting, just like the temptation that we face today. Similar thing with the temptation of the devil asking the Lord to kneel down to worship him. so that he will give him all the world, the luxury, all of the glory of the world. And yet we know that the Lord Jesus would not fall for that. Okay, but for many of us, we would have. Sometimes I think to myself, you know, the devil would have just given us a little candy. We would have fall for it already. I mean, he does not need to offer the whole world to us. We're such a small in capacity that we so easily fall for the little thing that the devil offered to us. So in here, we can see that the temptation was very real to him, and he could have yielded to the temptation. And because of his experience, his victorious experience during the temptation, he was able to understand what we are going through today. In other words, the Lord could understand our feeling because he has gone through the same thing. Hebrews tells us that for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet without sin. So that we can draw near to him, to the throne of grace, to receive help in time of need. But on the other hand, I don't believe that there is a real possibility of Jesus ever yielding to the temptation. I realize that when I say this, it sounds like double talking, isn't it? Okay? I mean, but bear me out with this. Not only do I think that I can try to solve this riddle, but this riddle of could Jesus have seen when he was tempted. But I believe that you will find what we can see from the lesson of the Lord Jesus can become a tremendous help to us. There is some important spiritual principle of victory, of victorious living, that we can look into this, that would be most helpful to our situation. There are some certain basic principles that can help us to overcome our own temptation in the future. That's what I'm trying to say. The reason we have difficulty overcoming temptation is because we are inconsistent in following God's principle. And this is the key to our victory. We should consistently utilize the principle given us in the Bible, okay, to become our strength for victory. Consistent victory is not only a result of what you do at the time of temptation. Rather, it is greater influence of what you do long before you face the temptation. You hear what I'm saying? Being victorious over temptation is actually a two-part process. What's the first part? First part, there is a choice when we make at the actual time of temptation. That's one part, right? And there's another part. There is the preparation done before you are tempted. It is our failure in the preparation stage that makes it more difficult for us to resist our temptation. Preparing ahead of time provides us the tool or the principle or the strength to help us to overcome temptation. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we consistently applying the principle that is in the Bible to resist temptation? If the answer is no, then your ability to resist temptation will be greatly diminished. But if your answer is yes, you will have a greater strength to resist your temptation. Take a look at the life of the Lord Jesus. We know that the Lord, when he came to the earth at the age of 12, he was at the temple. And he was talking to the scribes regarding to the scripture. Okay? And then when Mary discovered that the Lord Jesus was missing, they went back to the temple and found him talking to the scribes and the teachers. Okay? And they said, well, you know, why do you not following us? And the Lord Jesus said, well, you know, do you not know that I need to be mindful of my Father's business? That's one example of how the Lord Jesus prepared himself before temptation, before the temptation come. Okay? And as we have said, the Lord Jesus humbled himself and submit himself to the Father, and to be baptized by John the Baptist is another sign of how he prepared himself to be able to stand up to that temptation. And of course, throughout the 3.5 year prophet ministry, the Lord Jesus gave us the example of the fact that he constantly draw near to the Lord through personal prayer. He constantly prayed to his Father. Okay. As you can see, proper preparation is the key to our success. To help us understand as important, let us maybe take a look at two different scenarios. Okay? Let's say there are two houses of identical construction. And both houses, like all houses, they face the reality, the possibility of catching fire and get burned down. Okay? One house has a sophisticated alarm, fire alarm, and sprinkler system. And the other house does not. And if both houses are exposed to the same source of fire, one will burn down and the other will not. Now, this illustration is like the temptation, our temptation to sin. Two people can be exposed to the same type of temptation, and yet they respond differently. The person who utilizes the Bible principle will have more strength to resist the temptation. And the person who have not taken advantage of the principle God has given us would have a difficult time resisting temptation. When you think about it, when you think about your own condition, your daily living before the Lord, no wonder you say, well, you know, I stumble so badly and I stumble so quickly, because you're not prepared. Now, let us go back to this original question that I posed, and that is, could Jesus have sinned? I believe that if Jesus did not apply these principles before he was tempted, he probably would have sinned. Remember, he was just a human being, just like us. Okay? I don't believe he would have had the strength to resist the temptation if he was not prepared. The victory Jesus experienced is a direct result of his utilization of the resources available to him. So, instead of asking this question, could Jesus have sinned when he was tempted, maybe we should ask a different question, and that question is this. Was there a realistic possibility of Jesus not utilizing the resources available to him? I don't believe there was a possibility that the Lord Jesus would have disregarded these valuable tools that was available to him. I believe Jesus, being part of the Godhead, understood the necessity of applying these important principles. I believe the Lord Jesus saw the value of being prepared. And as we have pointed out earlier, while it is true that Jesus didn't have a sin nature, neither did Adam and Eve, yet both Adam and Eve have failed. The difference is Jesus understood the process that keeps a person from sinning. being part of the Godhead, Jesus didn't have to wonder how to be victorious. He knew the way to victory. And that is why his temptation was recorded in the Bible, in order to show us how to be victorious over sin. We cannot always avoid temptation, but we can have control over it. While I do not believe we can live a sinless, perfect life, I believe it is possible for us to have a consistent, victorious life as a Christian. Now, the principle that the Lord Jesus used and we should apply are as, well, I can find at least five of them. The first one is we need to maintain an intimate relationship with God, number one. Number two, we need to form a habit of dwelling in the Word of God. And number three, we need to commit every area of our life to God. Number four, we need to ask others to pray for us. And number five, we need to guard our thought. And that is extremely important. Now, to maintain an intimate relationship with God is different from spending time in making prayer requests. Many Christians, when they have problems, they just make a quick trip in prayer to God, committing certain problem and issue to Him. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that is not fellowship. That is not fellowship. Fellowship, on the other hand, is like friendship, like having a relationship that you develop with a friend. You develop a personal relationship with God the same way you develop a personal relationship with someone on earth, isn't it? Someone around you. You talk on a continual basis with that person. You share your feeling with that person. You share your dream, your desire. Your fellowship with God will provide you, brothers and sisters, tremendous, tremendous strength during times of temptation. I still remember, oftentimes I try to form a habit of talking to God. Not just during the time when I want to make a prayer request, God give me this, God give me that. But, you know, especially when I'm alone, I would talk to Him. And there was this one time I was in tremendous stressful situation. And I started to talk to God, and I said, God, I mean, take a look at my situation. You know how hard it is I'm in right now, okay? I'm between the rock and the hard place. That's how people put it. And I said, Lord, I mean, you know my difficulties, but I wonder, have you ever experienced the kind of difficulty that I'm going through? Now, of course, you laugh right now because the Lord Jesus, the kind of stressful situation He encountered was 100 or 1,000-fold greater than my little situation. Okay, but I'm giving you this example as how we fellowship with our Lord to maintain an intimate relationship with God. Okay, and the second thing is we need to dwell in the Word of God. This is very often neglected. Okay? Jesus realized how important it is to use the Word of God throughout the entire temptation process. Okay? He consistently used Scripture when He was defending Himself against the temptation of the devil in the wilderness. I think it is very important to follow Jesus' example in resisting our own temptation. If we don't consistently study the Word of God, if we do not allow the Word of God to dwell in our heart, it is so hard, or almost no way, that we can use this as a tool to become our defense. Getting back to that little conversation I had with the Lord Jesus, as I was challenging the Lord in a naive way, then the Lord immediately showed me Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. That was when I was driving in my car. He said, well, consider me. Consider him who had endured such hostility by sinners against him, so that you may not grow weary. And all of a sudden, I mean, the word of the Lord, when I started to dwell, meditate in the word of the Lord, I started to consider what the Lord Jesus has gone through. In my mind, I went through, you know, all the rejection, the suffering that he had gone through from throughout his entire ministry, especially during the time when he was on the cross. So, I mean, that really gave me tremendous strength in dealing with the stressful situation I was in. At that time, I mean, the situation did not change, but I changed because of the word of the Lord. Because my mind, I tried to train my mind to dwell in thinking about meditating on his word. And the third thing is we need to commit every area of our life to God. Some people have said that since God is aware of all of our need, there isn't any reason to pray for them. God knows it already. Why do we need to pray for it? But this isn't true. Although God knows all our needs, we still need to bring each and every one to him and ask for help. More importantly, when we commit something to God, we actually are giving God the full control. In other words, we give God the ownership of that issue, of that problem. Two Friday night ago, you know, Friday fellowship, we were talking about, like, I asked the young people this question, have you ever prayed for your lifetime partner? Oh, the Lord would know what's best for me. But that is not the issue. The issue is, have you make a specific request committing your future lifetime partner to God? Have you done that? Because when you do that, you're actually giving away ownership or control of this matter to God. And that is important. That is an important process. The last two, I want to just quickly go through the thing. Get others to pray for you. Remember, we have brothers and sisters. You are not living a loner's life. Okay? We have brothers and sisters as our support. We need to ask them to pray for us so that we can fight this spiritual battle together. Remember, Paul asked brothers and sisters in his epistle to pray for him and his co-workers so that they have boldness in preaching the word of God. Even Paul, a spiritual giant, would do that. Why would you not do that? Same thing. Ask your brother and sister to pray for you. And the last thing is, we need to guard our thought life. Thought life. Simply put, the more you dwell on sinful thought, the greater the possibility for you to fall in times of temptation. There is a direct correlation between the two. The more you think on one thing, and then when temptation comes, you will easily fall. What is going through your mind in a regular day? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to become the checker of our thoughts. Whenever we have thoughts of bitterness, when we have thoughts of discontentment, when we have thoughts that God has so changed me, we need the Holy Spirit to come to check our thought life so that we will stop it right there. We will not allow that sinful thought to continue to develop. And that is most important. Because of the time, I think I should just stop here. So let us have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you have gone through all the temptations that we are going through today. And you are that high priest who understand our feeling, our frustration when we are going through temptation. And Lord, you remind us that you are that faithful God and you are that way out for us. Every time when we find that we're in a dead end, that when we look around, there is no way out
Lord, we know that we always have to wait out, and that is yourself. Lord, you are that channel, oh, that we can go to. And that, Lord, even though there are times that you did not immediately remove the occasion for the temptation, and yet, Lord, you will give us sufficient grace to withstand all of those trials and temptations in life. Lord, we thank you so much for setting a good example for us. We pray indeed that you would help us in times of trials and temptation, that we will consider you, to think about how you have gone through to become victorious. And in the same manner, we learn it from you, so that, Lord, we can live a consistent, victorious Christian life. In your precious name we pray.